I'm James Rapine, and welcome into the Locked On Bengals podcast. It is great to be with you, coming at you from my basement, unable to record. It's 12:30 on Monday morning, just crossed midnight here, where the Bengals, they've lost 45-10. Plenty on the game, plenty of thoughts on the game. But recording in my basement on the bar, looking at Captain Morgan and Jack Daniels and Makers and a few others. I'm sure maybe some of you might have turned to the bottle after you watched that awful, awful football game tonight. We will discuss that on today's podcast. But yeah, people are sleeping in my house, so I'm not going to be able to use the studio I normally use in my office. So we're coming at you from the basement. But plenty to discuss, plenty to reflect on, plenty to talk about. Bengals lose 45-10. Before we dive into their loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, a quick reminder, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcast. This is the only Bengals podcast out there. There's only one that comes at you daily. It's Locked On Bengals, so make sure you share it with every single one of the Bengals fans that you know, and let them know where it is, and a five-star review on iTunes is always appreciated. Let's dive into this game. And normally I say this is a post-game edition of the Locked On Bengals podcast. Whether it's win, lose, or draw, that's just what I call this one, the Sunday edition. This podcast is different. This isn't just a post-game podcast. This isn't just the post-game edition podcast. This is the let the doubt creep in your mind podcast, because you, me, and everybody else who thought this team could potentially surprise people when they were 4-1, having a span of 7 days, went from 4-1 to 4-3, from first place to second place. The Steelers didn't play this week, but because of percentage points, are in first right now in the AFC North. This is the Primetime Struggles Continue edition of the Locked On Bengals podcast. Let's dive into the game. If you listen to this podcast regularly, if you listened last week, what were some of the things I was harping on? That whether I wrote about it at LockedOnBengals.com, maybe I talked about it on the podcast. Hell, maybe I did both because I like to beat things to death. I totally understand that. I harp on things. I like to stress and show you and let you know what I'm most focused on. What was I focused on? Well, the first thing was getting Joe Mixon the damn ball and getting him in a position to have success. Well, the Bengals gave him 13 rushing attempts. He also had five targets, so 18 possible touches for Joe Mixon. 50 yards on the ground, another 1 yard receiving. Joe Mixon was bad tonight. I'm not saying the offensive line didn't have something to do with it. I sure as hell am not saying Bill Lazor didn't have something to do with it. I'm not sure there's a player or coach having a worse 2 weeks than Bill Lazor. He was awful tonight. But Joe Mixon wasn't that good tonight. And that's where I'll start, because I thought the key to this game was not stopping Kansas City's offense, because I don't think the Bengals could stop Kansas City's offense. Hell, last week I asked Jesse Bates in the middle of the Bengals locker room, hey man, with an offense as good as they are in the Kansas City Chiefs, do you guys like not worry about them scoring? I said that to an NFL football player. Yeah, as a defensive player, are you guys just kind of okay with them scoring and you're just going to kind of pick your spots? That's how good the Chiefs offense is, and they showed it tonight. I thought one way to kind of neutralize that, kind of even the playing field, would be sustain long, drawn-out drives with Joe Mixon and pound, pound, and pound some more this Kansas City Chiefs defense. That did not happen. In fact, the Bengals had a whopping 15 total first downs. Their net yards, 239 to the Chiefs' 551. They only had 54 offensive plays and averaged 4.4 yards per play. How does that stack up against the Chiefs? The Chiefs averaged 7.9 yards per play. The Chiefs were 75% on third down. Think about that. They were 9 of 12. 9 of 12. How many of you could make 9 out of 12 free throws right now? The Chiefs are doing that on third down in the NFL. They ran 70 offensive plays. They ran for nearly 200 yards. They passed for 353 yards. I look at this team. By the way, the Chiefs did not punt tonight. The room for error was so thin. It was so small. And the pressure was on the offense. I'm going to be critical of the defense in a second, and I'm going to talk about Vontaze Burfict in a second. But this offense put up 10 points. What did you expect? This offense scored 10 points. You can't go to Kansas City and score 10 points. You can't go to Cleveland these days and score 10 points. You can't go to a little league football peewee game and score 10 points and expect to win. With the way these rules are in the NFL, teams are going to score. And that's where it leads me to Bill Lazor, because I have no idea what the hell he's doing. None. Think about this target share. Think about this. A.J. Green has 14 targets. I'm fine with that. I'm never going to complain that A.J. Green is being targeted too much. No one else got targeted. Cody Kore had 3 targets. Tyler Boyd had 4 targets. C.J. Uzomah had 2. Joe Mixon had 5. Matt Lingle had 1. John Ross had 1. Alex Erickson had 2. And I'm tired of the Joe Mixon wasn't good tonight, but it doesn't seem like the Bengals are putting him in a great position to have success. He shouldn't have 3 receptions for 1 yard. Can we find a way to get the ball to Joe Mixon in space maybe once in a while? And speaking of getting the ball in space to someone, anyone going to figure out a way to use John Ross? Because I am so sick and tired of getting people tweeting me like, hey, where's your boy John Ross? It's the Bengals' fault right now. You know what? Hey, dear Mike Brown, you might want to just release John Ross so he can go somewhere where they might figure out how to use him. It is ridiculous. Ridiculous. He gets 1 target. It's deep downfield. He clearly gets interfered with, and that's it for him. Now, he pulled his groin at the end of the game, and he didn't return. And I wonder, you know, what the case was there. But he's not getting enough snaps. And in an offense that was struggling from the jump, I mean, from the very beginning, it was like, oh, God, this is what we're going to deal with tonight. And that's what it was. I mean, the one touchdown drive they had, and I tweeted about it, it looked difficult. It looked hard against that Kansas City Chiefs defense that came in getting shredded by every team, by all of the teams. All of the teams were shredding them like they were going through a paper shredder. Okay, that's what was happening. And Andy Dalton and that Bengals offense went in there and took the Kansas City Chiefs' worst defense in history by multiple metrics, including yards given up, etc., through 6 weeks, and allowed them to look good. And it's on Bill Lazor for not putting this – it's on Bill and Andy, mostly Bill, though. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what the hell he's doing over the past 2 weeks. I have no idea. None. Zero. Zilch. And I won't know. Here's what I do know. If they don't fix their offensive issues, they're in trouble. We've been talking about the defense, and the defense has been such a focus. I don't give a damn about the defense. You better go back home to Paul Brown Stadium and score 30-plus next week. You're not beating Tampa scoring 25. You are not. And I know Cleveland almost did today. You can say whatever you want. Tampa Bay is really good on offense. Don't believe me? Ask DeSean Jackson. Ask Mike Evans. That team can play. That offense can play. And the Bengals' offense was awful. I mean, it was dreadful. And I don't know what the hell was going on with this team going into primetime games. It's not just that the Chiefs are good. And people took that wrong on Twitter. And if you saw me, I said, well, the Chiefs are really, really good. And people were like, oh, well, stop making excuses. I'm not making any excuses. That's just the reality of it. That being said, the Bengals didn't show up tonight. They did not show up on Sunday Night Football with a chance to have that literally would be tied for the best record in the AFC. They would literally have the opportunity and chance to win everybody over. Everyone. From you to me to anyone in Cincinnati to your aunt who doesn't pay attention or give a damn about the Bengals, everyone would have been praising the Bengals, and they came out there and they laid an egg. They came out there and they didn't show up. They shouldn't have even went to Arrowhead. They shouldn't have wasted Mike Brown's money flying all the way down there. For what? You fly to Kansas City for what? To do that? You shouldn't have went. You shouldn't have went. I'm going to take a drink real quick of my water here. It's just ridiculous. It honestly, and I don't blame the fans. I don't blame you one damn bit for being embarrassed. I don't blame you one damn bit for ripping Marvin, for ripping this team, for being frustrated, for being sick and disgusted because you got your hopes up just to get let down again. You know what it feels like? It feels like you got stood up on a Sunday night. That's what it, oh, you had this big date. You get excited. You're looking forward to it all weekend. Think about that. I was looking forward to watching this game all weekend. Now, I didn't even think they were going to win. I didn't. And you heard my prediction on Thursday's podcast. But with that being said, I thought it'd be a good game. I thought Andy Dalton would show up. Instead, we got Blandy Dalton. I thought Bill Lazor would show up. Instead, he's literally calling plays like it's 2017 again. It must be 2017 on Bill Lazor's calendar. Hey, Marvin, get his ass a new calendar. It makes you sick as a fan. I totally understand it. And it bothers me because the last thing I want to do is come on and rip them to shreds. And that's what we're going to do because I have no – Andy Dalton's 15 of 29. There is no defending that. The interception was ridiculous, and he threw almost probably two or three more that the Chiefs, the Butterfinger Chiefs, they probably had candy bars on the sideline, they didn't catch. Andy was awful. He was awful today, tonight, last night technically because it's 12:37 as I'm recording this. Just dreadful. No creativity on offense. 10 total points. Let's go through all of the stats here. And the crazy part is the time of possession wasn't that crazy. The Chiefs possessed it for 33 minutes and 43 seconds. The Bengals possessed it for 26 minutes and 17 seconds. Bengals punted 5 times, Chiefs 0. Both teams turned the ball over once. The Bengals passed it for a whopping 174 net passing yards. Think about that. My God. Their net rushing yards, 65. 65. Didn't show up. Speaking of not showing up, let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about the defensive line. And let's talk about number 55, Vontaze Burfict. I wrote about him. I talked about him. I said how this was an opportunity. And instead, Vontaze Burfict struck out. He whiffed. He couldn't make tackles. He got ran over. And I got to tell you, I don't think he's worth it. I'll talk to you about Vontaze Burfict in just a second. But first, a word from my bookie. Because where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you took the over tonight, I am sorry. Last I saw, the over was 58.5. The Bengals let you down. 45. It was 45-10. The Bengals let you down. Still, my bookie is where it's at. I bet their NBA is in full bloom. Maybe you want to bet on the World Series. I love betting on NBA, by the way. College basketball coming up. Obviously, we're in college football and NFL season. They have all types of different betting. Live game betting, in-game betting. You can bet the over-under on number of fantasy points that your team is going to score, and you can do it with MyBookie online. Go right now, check out MyBookie. You can use their mobile website as well. Their mobile website's awesome. Really easy to use, nice browser, and it makes it really simple to lay down money and win big. All you got to do is go there, MyBookie online, use promo code LOCKEDON25, and they're going to match your initial deposit dollar for dollar. Again, MyBookie online, promo code LOCKEDON25, and they're going to match your initial deposit dollar for dollar. And yeah, you play, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. Again, promo code LOCKEDON25. I don't know where the hell Vontaze Burfict was tonight. Will someone send a search party for him? I bet that man, I heard he likes to play Fortnite. I bet you Burfict stayed in Cincinnati, sent a twin, and his ass was playing Fortnite the whole time because there's no way he was playing football. That dude didn't play football tonight. I don't know what the hell he was doing, but that was not football. That was not football. This defense, there's so many things to talk about. But Burfict is supposed to be good, I thought. I thought Vontaze Burfict was supposed to be this really physical, dirty, tough football player. He looks soft tonight. I'm dead. What else would you call it? if you see missed tackle after missed tackle after missed tackle, other than soft. There's one play where I saw Burfict really like go find the ball and make a nice play on it. And it was a screen pass, and he grabbed the ankle of, it wasn't Kareem Hunt, it was Spencer Ware, I believe. I believe it was 32 Spencer Ware. And he held him in the backfield, didn't allow him to get upfield. Outside of that, Kareem Hunt broke a tackle. Multiple other defenders broke, or offensive players for Kansas City broke a tackle that Burfict was in on. You're playing soft, 55. And don't tell me, don't give me an excuse for him. There are none. And I hope he's healthy. I know he went down with an injury. He was limping. I saw that. I didn't see him back on the field, so hopefully he's okay. As far as health goes, John Ross, I assume, re-aggravated a groin injury. He didn't return. He left with a groin and did not return. I assume it's the same groin injury that has kept him out the past couple of weeks. Groins are tough. Once you pull them, they're tough. You don't want them to linger. It's not like the Bengals use John Ross anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I don't get it. I don't get it with 55. This was his opportunity. This was his chance, and he didn't show up. Two tackles. Think about that. Burfict had two tackles. He had more missed tackles than he did tackles. Seriously. I don't know what else to say there. I will say this. Dre Kirkpatrick make the tackle on Kareem Hunt on the first drive of the game. Kareem Hunt breaks that tackle, jumps over Jesse Bates, and gets inside the five-yard line. I believe that was the first drive of the game. It's just tough, man. It really is. It is just tough. Jesse Bates and Sean Williams both finished with a combined 12 tackles, which isn't good because those are your two safeties. Not good at all. Jordan Willis had a missed tackle, big missed tackle on Kareem Hunt. William Jackson had a potential interception, hit him in the hands. This defense is reeling right now. That's what it is. They ran into a buzzsaw. I don't give them a pass at all, but they were going to give up points tonight. So the point output isn't what I was worried about as much, or what bothers me. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs had a pick six, so they gave up 38 points. That was about what I expected. The problem is you only forced one turnover. The game was already out of reach when you forced said turnover. And you really didn't do much. I mean, you had two sacks. Dunlap had a sack. Andrew Billings had a sack. The defensive line, not really there. Not really getting after it, not making moves, not making an impact. That's the key. The key with Burfict, it's not numbers. I don't need 15 tackles. I need an impact. He didn't make an impact. That's the problem. Joe Mixon didn't have an impact on tonight's game. You know who did? Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, and Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins had an impact. This Bengals team is reeling. And I think this Tampa Bay game coming up is going to be much harder than most people realize. I'm James Erpine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Post-game interviews just came through. Up next, you're going to hear from Marvin Lewis, AJ Green, and more as we roll on. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Welcome back into the Locked On Bengals podcast. Let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs visiting locker room at Arrowhead Stadium, where there was a bunch of unhappy players. The Bengals fall 45-10 tonight. Dave Lapham and Dan Hoard talk with multiple different Bengals. Fortunately, I have those interviews. Let's hear them. First, let's hear from the head coach. Here is Dave Lapham with Marvin Lewis following the 45-10 loss to Kansas City.
They obviously played pretty well tonight, but tackling seemed to be an issue, you know, in this football game.
A poor job of tackling tonight, and you know, we have to do a better job. We knew that going in, that we needed to make sure we get guys around to the football and everybody keep coming, and not just one person, but we had to do a better job of tackling.
And then on the flip side of it, offensively, you know, that obviously didn't sustain as many drives as had been hoped right away. First drive of the game, three and out. Skandrick got away with a grab on AJ, but you know, you have to fight through those kind of things and move on. And they you know, they played better defense than they had shown.
Well, we didn't do, you know, we did not first off be able to, you know, you got to commit ourselves to being able to, first off, move the football by running the football. And, you know, we didn't want to get into a throwing type game like that. And, you know, we didn't play well enough. We didn't execute well enough. We had to sustain, make first downs today. That was the key element.
When you look at the weapons that they have and the quarterback that they have and the way he's built and how he can do things, is that kind of like a prototype offense in today's NFL?
Well, again, I don't evaluate their guys, but, you know, they're playing good right now, and we didn't play good enough tonight to beat them.
But with that said, you know, it's one game. Now you have to just, you know, lick your wounds and get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who won a close football game today against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, we got to get better, and we got to do it in a hurry, and we got to understand, we got to get our jobs done and get back at it.
And I know, Coach, you know, you want to play complimentary football all three phases, and it seemed like it was, you know, non-complimentary for the most part tonight, even on special teams. Was that a fake that was aborted, or what happened on that punt?
We had miscommunication, and it shouldn't happen.
Coach, appreciate you carving time for us, giving us a summation of this, and I know it's never easy.
All right, thank you.
I take it a lot of you are not happy with Marvin Lewis, and at least you're not alone, because I think plenty of fans unhappy with the old ball coach who has lost. They have not won on Sunday Night Football since 2004, when they won 16-13 against the Miami Dolphins in Week 2, Carson Palmer's first home start at Paul Brown Stadium, a very sloppy 16-13 victory that one was. Let's stick with Dave Lapham. Dave Lapham caught up with A.J. Green after the game. A.J. Green had 7 receptions, was one of the lone bright spots of the Bengals, maybe the only bright spot for the Bengals today. 7 receptions, 117 yards. Here's Dave Lapham with A.J. after the game.
A.J., 7 catches, 117 yards on the game. Skandrick, right away, first third down, grabbed you right by the chest, no call. Did that give you any indication of what might be going on for the night?
We knew from coming in, they held a lot, so my job is to, you know, run through it, make the ref call it. Wasn't worried about the hold, just told him, you know, I'm just going to be here all day, just got to run through it, it's fine.
Andy obviously continually went to you, 7 catches for 117 yards. The Kansas City Chiefs had been struggling defensively. Did they do anything differently than they've been doing prior to this football game that you guys saw on tape?
Oh, yeah, because they didn't play a lot of press. I think I had that drive. I had a couple catches. They got out of it just pressing me and bailing, and then a lot of two-man on my side. So, you know, they switched up some things that we didn't see on film.
And at that point, I mean, adjustments to what they were doing, tough to do on the fly like that?
It's just tough. You know, we got behind. Got behinds in the sticks, a couple drives. But we didn't play good football. You know, we didn't play good football. I didn't play good football this week. So just got to go back to the drawing board and get back on track.
Thanks, AJ. Catch up with
It's tough. That's got to be tough for A.J. Green. It's tough because you knew once that initial drive where I think A.J. might have had 5 receptions where the Bengals got within 7 and it was 14-7 in the second quarter, it felt like there were 2 or 3 Kansas City Chiefs on him for the rest of the game. Andy threw his way a couple more times, and there were multiple times where it was almost picked off. So it was just one of those things with Eric. All right, we're going to stop A.J. Green, beat us with someone else. And the Bengals were unable to do that. Bill Lazor unable to do that. The run game certainly wasn't a factor tonight, with Joe Mixon only rushing for 50 yards. A guy who was a factor, a player who I like. He had the game's only touchdown, or the Bengals' only touchdown at least. C.J. Uzama. Uzama talked with reporters after the game.
When this happens, is it as frustrating as the NFL can be for a player when it's just gone completely sideways in a game like this?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's one thing, I think personally, if a team just completely comes out and they're just flat better than you. It's another thing if a team comes out and we continue to hurt ourselves, and you're just thinking about it like, dang, well, what you know, don't get this holding call. Don't make us in third and, you know, 15. And the game changes. And that's the way I look at it, and I think that's the way all of us look at it. So I think that's the most frustrating part is, you know, when we hurt ourselves, we can't expect to win a game like that, especially against a good team.
I know the mood changes when you don't get a couple of wins, but do you notice it was kind of seemed obvious you guys had a lot of fun the first 5 weeks. Right. Did you feel like these last 2 weeks have there hasn't been as much of that to the in preparation and even being out there?
No, I think you know, last week for sure there was, I mean, I thought all of us had fun. I think this week, because we got so far behind so early, you know, that kind of just took the wind out of our sails. And I think that's why it's tough to, you know, 45-10, it's tough to be like, all right, come on guys, let's go. And at that point you're fighting for pride, you're fighting to not get embarrassed. And so I think that's the toughest part is I think we're still having fun. You know, I look at last week and I offensively, you know, going down that last drive, I'm having fun. I'm all in. And I think, you know, the team was as well. So it's just this week or this game, it's tough, you know, getting behind that fast and that quick, to kind of have that, you know, that swagger and that happy, you know, sideline smiles and things like that.
You almost got to say, I can't believe this keeps happening when Mason goes down. I mean, yeah, it's just
tough.
It's just tough luck in your room.
I mean, we got the bug. I don't know. That's tough, man. I feel for him because he's come a long way. He's grown a lot as a player, and it just honestly, it sucks. So, yeah.
Have you played in a game like this, CJ, at any level that got that bad?
If we're honest, yes. My sophomore year at Auburn, we got absolutely destroyed by Bama. Didn't make it past the 50. So, yeah, I've been in one. But that was a little different. You know, they were just a better team than we were.
When you caught your touchdown pass tonight, 14-7, were you thinking, okay, here we go, we're going to be okay?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I wouldn't have danced if I hadn't thought that. Honestly, I would just handed the ball to the ref and ran off on the sideline. Yeah, I mean, we drove the ball down the field and scored, and I was like, all right, nice, here we go. This is kind of the drive we needed to spark us, and we'll come back and, you know, we'll continue scoring, and it just didn't happen.
I find it hard to believe anybody's going to hold those guys to a low number. I mean, the opponent that beats them is going to have to play really well offensively, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, and I think the main thing is, you know, offensively, obviously, they have a lot of weapons. We know that they're going to score, and I think that the way that we played offensively, it puts us at a disadvantage because it puts our special teams in a bind, and then it puts the defense in a bind because we're, you know, they're sometimes playing with a short field, or, you know, it's tough. It's tough to beat a team like that, any team, honestly, but, I mean, a team like that playing the way that we did offensively and hurting ourselves the way we did.
All right, let's hear from two more Bengals. I'm trying to just give you, because I'm not there, and I want you guys to get as much perspective as you can. One player who you haven't heard from maybe ever on this podcast is Bobby Hart. And Dan Hoare talked with Bobby Hart on the Bengals postgame show on ESPN 1530. Here is Dan Hoare, the voice of the Bengals and Bengals right tackle, Bobby Hart.
We're in the locker room with Bengals offensive lineman Bobby Hart. Tough night, obviously. That's a great Kansas City team. They played well, and unfortunately you guys didn't.
Yeah, you know, we just got to get back to the drawing board, you know, get back to, you know, the fundamentals and the things that, you know, we do when we're winning, and just continue to, you know, just learn from this game. That's a great football team. That's definitely, you know, one of the top teams in the AFC. So, you know, shoot, we got to see that how we match up against them. So that we got to put our head down. We got a lot of work to do.
Did you feel like things kind of spiraled once the ball got rolling for Kansas City?
I wouldn't necessarily feel like it spiraled. It's just, you know, that's how football goes sometimes, man. You got to take the good with the bad. You got to roll with it. You can't let it get down. It's 1 week. You got to immediately shift your focus to Tampa Bay and, you know, go into the bye week, you know, on a good note.
Standing on the sideline, watching that Kansas City offense operate. I mean, I know you're also, you know, talking to the coaches and getting ready to go back out and do your thing. But did you glimpse enough to see, you know, an NFL offense that's operating at the, you know, peak level right now?
Yeah. You know, you just hear the crowd noise and stuff and you happen to look up. They're just – everyone's moving everywhere. I mean, you just tip your hat off to them and, you know, you gotta, when you're playing a team like that, you just gotta execute, and we did not execute today. So, like I said, it's back to the drawing board, back to the fundamentals.
He had a couple critical penalties that the offensive line did in general. Clint Bowling, block in the back. Alex Redmond, I believe it was a hold on him. Bobby Hart, some untimely false starts. That stuff has to get cleaned up, and it's magnified in a game like this with no margin, no room for error, and it's magnified even more when your offense is awful. Awful offense. Offense awful. I hate how well that goes together, and it certainly describes the Bengals' offense well tonight. The defense was zero better. It wasn't better at all. Zero better. That sentence structure, that vocabulary I just used, was better than the Bengals' defense earlier tonight. Here's Jesse Bates with Dan Hort after the game.
That offense for Kansas City right now is operating about as well as an offense can function. What stood out to you?
I feel like we limited the deep throws, but somehow they continue to execute their offense. They stay hot, like you just said, and you know, it's just a bad day for us. On the best day to kind of show everybody what we can do, and I feel like we didn't come to play.
How difficult are Hunt and Hill in particular to tackle?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we struggle with tonight, and obviously those guys are pro bowlers, and they're really good for a reason. So, you know, you just got to tackle and get better at it.
You studied these guys. I know you anticipated the movement and the deception, but when you're out there competing against it, how hard is it to diagnose what they're doing?
Like you said, with the motions and stuff, they kind of hide it. I mean, they didn't run anything that we didn't practice all week. But, I mean, they did it very well tonight, and they put up a lot of points. So, anytime you give up 45 points, and it's pretty hard to, you know, win the game.
I can't imagine you've seen speed like that before.
Yeah, that was different speed than I've never seen. But you know, that's what the experience is for. I'm just excited to get back next week.
Going back home for Tampa Bay, you got to put this one in the garbage can as quickly as you can, right?
Yeah, I think this one's going to be hard to swallow just because it's in front of everyone. Everyone was watching, and I think we're excited to show people what we can do, and we didn't do that tonight. So, you know, like I said, this week, we got another opportunity next week to go in to the bye week with a win and you know, get this thing back rolling the right way.
Jesse Bates is still my favorite Bengals fangled. That might be a good word used, fangled, but favorite Bengals defender. He is. Had 12 tackles tonight, flies around, does everything that you ask him to, and then some. And, yeah, unfortunately, I thought he was going to have a chance or two at an interception. Had one where he had a shot at it where he was diving, and it hit William Jackson in the hands, but unable to haul that in. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Back at it tomorrow. Going to try to track down Joe Goodberry for our weekly Bengals film review. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And a quick reminder to subscribe iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Please do it. It's great because you know why? But when people search in iTunes, when they search Bengals, it's more likely that this podcast comes up, and it's the only daily Bengals podcast out there, and I want as many Bengals fans to know about us as possible. You can also subscribe on Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and I will be posting plenty of written word about this team tomorrow at LockedOnBengals.com. Every podcast posted there as well. It's been great talking with you. Back at it tomorrow. I am sorry to all of you who feel like they got stood up on a Sunday night. I know the feeling. Hopefully it'll get better next Sunday. I'm James Erpine. Have a great night. Great morning. Have a great Monday. I'll be back at it. Heck, later today. It's almost 1 a.m. It'll be well past 1 a.m. when I get this posted. But 1 a.m. Have a great Monday. Back at it later today on the Locked On Bengals podcast.